Welcome to politics. Yes, welcome to a conversation with a politician. This is another in the series of conversations I'm having with John Gilroy from the Irish Labour Party. He's a senator in Ireland, an elected senator, stood for the Dáil in the last election, and he's now working out of the Senate. And I'm going to ask, first of all, I better say good morning, John Gilroy.
Good morning, Paul. How are you?
Well, I'm fine, but it's you I'm really interested in. I'm going to start off by giving you a minute to give us an elevator pitch on what have you been doing recently. I haven't heard much from you myself.
Okay, yeah, look, we've been very busy in the Senate for the last couple of weeks, Paul. Going through the Senate, a lot of legislation going through. Yesterday evening, for instance, there was the Criminal Justice Act with relation to the protection of children. There was an education bill going through yesterday as well. And what else was going through? God, when you put me on the spot, it's hard,
I know,
to remember. There's been a vast lot of...
You have no notebook in front of you. You're speaking completely without notes and completely off the cuff.
Yeah, there really has been, I'd say, four or five significant pieces of legislation before the Senate in the last couple of weeks.
Okay, but look, does that mean that you have been up in Dublin working tirelessly in the Senate chamber, or have you been sitting on your arse in your office with your feet up reading a book?
I think most people would suspect the latter, but unfortunately, while I was actually working, the Senate was sitting 5 days last week. It wasn't sitting 3 days this week. It only sat 2 days this week. There is an anomaly in the scheduling of the Senate, which says that after a bank holiday, it doesn't sit until Tuesday. That's a historical thing and needs to change. I don't know why that is, but we really do need to look at that. But that is a legacy issue, I suppose. But last week, we were sitting for 5 days, yeah.
And, okay, sitting. Now, I don't want to give the impression that you were sitting. I want you to tell us exactly what were you doing.
The social welfare bill was in the Senate early last week. That's given expression to the changes in social welfare that were announced in the budget. It has to be done within a time frame, and that had to be done by the middle of last week. So the Senate had to sit Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday of last week to make sure that we passed the legislation in good time, in proper time, so that it would be able to go to the President for signing.
And this is to enable Joan Burton, the Minister, to take our money off us, isn't it?
Oh, that's what it is, Paul. It's these days and ages, we won't expect any minister to be giving us money, I can tell you that.
But what do you have to do about that, John? Do you actually, are you practicing listening, or are you actually contributing yourself, or are you lobbying people behind the scenes to say certain things? What are you actually doing?
What we're doing is, since Christmas really, since the announcement of the budget proposals in December, what I've been doing is people are lobbying in different lobby groups or interest groups, and what I'd be talking about would be, I mean, I had several meetings with a group representing lone parents, for instance, who are very concerned about putbacks in relation to benefits that they might have been entitled to, and lots of other people have been lobbying is the wrong word, really, Paul. You know, lobbying makes something seem sinister, but it's not lobbying. It's
look, my wife used to be a lobbyist, right? I'm using it in the strictly sense that these people, the lone parents, want to get their point across, so they go to the politician. Or did you pick them and say,
no.
I want you to come and lobby me?
No, you know me, Paul. I'm a very extensive user of Twitter. So my name is out there, and I'm available to listen to anyone, not just in Cork North Central, but anyone in the country can come and speak to me. I'm happy to meet anyone who has a reasonable point to make. And it's very important that I use the word reasonable point to make, because there are some points out there that aren't reasonable. It's not necessarily that I agree or disagree with points. I listen to anyone. So I've been doing that. Now, when the legislation came into the Senate, we had a good discussion around different points of the social welfare bill. For instance, one point was that the minister was proposing that she would reduce benefits to lone parents as soon as the child became 7 years old. But that was going to be done on an incremental basis. Now, it does seem initially unfair, but if you look at the logic behind it, there is a very strong logic behind it that at the moment, child benefits entitlements accrue to single lone parents up to the age of 14, 15, 16. And the minister is of the feeling that...
Sorry, so if I'm a lone parent and I have a kid, and up until they're about 14, 15 or 16,
whatever it is,
I get extra money,
Now, the minister is of the opinion, and best international experience and practice will show too, that has the risk or the potential to create a dependency culture. Whereas if we put in place proper childcare facilities and childcare places, we should be able then to scale back the benefits to allow lone parents re-enter the workforce. And this is very important. In Scandinavian countries, this is the way it is. In Northern Ireland, this is the way it is. There is a painful adjustment right now. That's why.
So there's a real push to people to get out and be the same as the rest of us.
But most people want to work, Paul. Most people do want to work. And the key to this is the provision of proper and high quality, cost-effective and cheap childcare.
Now, I don't want to turn this podcast into the details of childcare, right?
Yeah.
But what I mentioned then is what you are, the kind of thing you do. So you listen on this thing. You listen to the lone parents, right?
Yep.
Gave them a good listening to.
I'd have an opinion on it myself as well, Paul.
Yeah, but you heard their view.
Absolutely,
right?
Yeah.
Did you make them any promises?
No promises, Paul. All we can say is we can speak to the minister, try and get some explanation behind this. If the explanation is reasonable, I'll come back and tell them, and we'll enforce a reasonable strategy. Whether we agree with it or not, Paul, there are things that we don't like but are necessary. We have to say that. Otherwise, we'd be all things to everyone, and that's no way to run a country.
And tell me, after you heard from the lone parents, did you go and tell any other politician what you'd heard, other than the minister?
Oh, lots of politicians.
Where did you go in the bar and tell them, or where did you tell them?
I suppose. No, I don't. I don't.
I'm not against.
I don't frequent the bar at all in Leinster House, Paul. Actually.
Okay.
But you told other people at the weekly Labour Party senators' meetings. We discussed this extensively, and also then there's a parliamentary party meeting of the entire Labour parliamentary party every Wednesday, at which this will be discussed as well.
So that's typical politician behaviour. Hear from the lobby group, you don't commit yourself necessarily, but you do hear them.
Correct.
And without fear or favour, you pass on their views to other politicians.
That's exactly what happens.
Is that it?
That's exactly what happens. And so on some issues, you'd have some opinions strong or otherwise yourself. And if it was something that you felt very strongly about, you would articulate your own position on this as well. Sometimes there are things that you can't be an expert in everything, Paul. This is the first thing we have to say. I mean, I'm the spokesperson on finance and on health. They're two massive areas. I'm not terribly well briefed in the detail of social welfare.
Yeah.
Only in parts of social welfare that
you'd
have brought my attention.
You'd run yourself ragged if you tried to be.
But
right?
You couldn't be, Paul.
But you can actually listen. Yes?
Of course. So what I did was we discussed this at the Labour Party centres meeting and at the Parliamentary Party meeting, discussed it with the Minister, discussed it with some of other TDs, got an explanation, which I've explained there, and I think the explanation is reasonable. And the upshot, and I'm not claiming credit for this by any means, because a lot of other TDs and centres have done the same, the upshot of this, Paul, of this lobbying, was that the Minister has agreed not to implement this section of the Social Welfare Act until such time as the proper childcare facilities are put in place. So this is a real victory for the representatives of the lone parents groups who have met their politicians. And this is how democracy works.
Are you claiming that they got a result because they actually took the trouble of lobbying you, and you then took the trouble?
No, they didn't just lobby me. They lobbied probably every politician. I was one of the politicians who was lobbied, and I saw their point and I agree with their point. So what I did was, in consultation with other TDs and centres, approached the minister. Lots of people did. It was discussed openly at the two forum, I was saying. And as a result of that, the minister said, look, there's a point here. This is what we'll do. We will implement this. We will not implement it until we put in place proper childcare structures first. And we'll implement it then over a sequential time frame over 4 or 5 years.
And what about the civil servants? Do you actually lobby civil... Do you go to civil servants with this information, or do you just deal with other politicians?
No, I don't deal with civil servants, Paul. I don't think that's right. I mean, civil servants are neutral and impartial and professional. There's no question about this. I mean, political decisions...
They're the ones who drafted the legislation for the minister.
But the minister formulates and implements the policy.
I know.
Formulates the policy, the civil servants implement it. So civil servants would not have a formal role in being lobbied, and they shouldn't. They shouldn't. They're impartial servants of the department. The minister is the political head of the department, and the minister ultimately carries the political responsibility for everything that happens within her department.
Okay, enough about this. That's a great little example. I'm very pleased with that. I'll give you a chance to break one bit of news about something else you're going to do in the next week.
Okay.
Right? Let's go ahead.
Okay. We'll just
give us what's in your in tray to deal with.
Well, what I'm doing now, Paul, well, there's a lot of things on at the minute. One or two things I can't really talk about because they're sensitive at the moment, but I will say it's with relation to the Jobs Bridge internship scheme. We'll be having a meeting with some organisations next week to be able to see is there potential to roll out an innovative version of the Jobs Bridge internship scheme, and we'll know more about that in the next couple of weeks. I prefer not to talk about it too publicly because there are a lot of more people that need to be involved before this will become real or not.
Yeah, but it's good to know it's bubbling away.
I'm involved in four different agenda topics or policy issues that I picked for myself this year. That is one of them. Another is I'm in discussions with an American multinational company about bringing jobs to Ireland. How, in the love of God, you'd say, how am I involved in that? But it is an old contact that I developed maybe 10 years ago in the United States, who is now in a position that they may or may not be expanding into Europe.
It's a personal connection you're using.
Of course, this is what we are people,
yeah.
So we have to do
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
the way
yeah,
we work.
Yeah, yeah.
So
go on, that's a second one.
What's so there could be. Yeah. It's much slower. This is than I anticipated. IDEA are involved in it, so let's not say too much about that because it is sensitive. Next one is called the Community Arts and Sports policy that I drew up for the Labour Party before the election. We're hoping to implement a pilot scheme of that, which is a fairly innovative one-stop shop type building.
Where?
Center.
Do you have a location
reveal? I haven't at the moment, but it's not too far from here, Paul, I would say.
All right.
But it's at the early stage.
I'm sure it wouldn't be in your own constituency, of
Well,
course.
It wouldn't be anywhere else, hardly, would it?
That's very
That's moving along nicely as well, Paul. And finally then, and probably the most important thing that I feel is I'm rapporteur to the Oireachtas Joint Health Committee on Health and Children. I'm a rapporteur on suicide prevention. And what that means is I'm charged with bringing a report to the committee about suicide prevention that might or might not feed into policy in this area. I hope it will. I've been working on this for 12 months. You say there's loads of reports, Paul, and there are millions of them. But I think that it's important that we take a fresh look at our national policy, reach out. I just think that it might not be working as effectively as it should. And I've been meeting every week, Paul, for the last eight months. I've been meeting with interest groups, professional bodies and agencies, or anyone really who has an opinion to express in this matter. Funny enough, I put it out on Twitter yesterday. I'm now in the next phase, Paul, to consult with ordinary members of the public, because the experts have a viewpoint and the professional agencies and organisations have a viewpoint, but perhaps we might be able to find some new insight by throwing our net as wide as possible. And let's listen to the general public about this. So I put this out on Twitter yesterday morning, and I'll tell you the level of interest in this, Paul. Within an hour it was trending in Ireland, so it was
really?
It was, yeah. So that was yeah, so there is it. I got a huge.
And if somebody hears this on Audioboo and isn't aware of this, are you actually inviting them to get in touch with you? Would you like a person who listens to this audio?
Please do. JohnGilroy01@gmail.com. That's the conduit to which you can contact me. I don't like to put my mobile phone number out there, Paul, as you might imagine, because...
No, I wouldn't if I were you.
But that email is fine. Anyone that
JohnGilroy01.
01@gmail.com.
Okay.
So since yesterday, I've had at least 20 emails have come in on that, and we hope now I issued a press release on it as well, on foot of
Do you have a time scale for this? Like, if somebody's listening to this and they want, oh yeah,
as soon as possible, Paul. Look, I mean, we say there's so many reports written about different things. And
before the end of May or before the end of June?
Yeah, say, look, that kind of time frame, June is fine.
Okay.
Like, I mean, the important thing isn't the timeliness of it. The important thing is the comprehensiveness and the value of it. So, look, let's do it right. There's plenty of reports out there. The policy has been implemented. Like I say, I feel there's not. There's more we could be doing. And I have a lot of opinions on this myself, but I don't want to express those opinions, Paul, because I don't want to colour the way other people are thinking when they're talking to me. So this is the most important thing, Paul. Suicide is the single greatest challenge facing Irish society at the moment. There's no doubt about that. We had 527 people die the year before last by suicide, 486 last year. That's 1,000 people in 2 years, Paul. That's the population of a good-sized Irish town. And it seems to me that we don't seem to have got the grips
and
with
the way, And by the way, just on this, because I really have a huge interest, that does not count all the near misses.
Look, there's 127near misses, Paul, but there's another 127 people have died by causes of undetermined intent, which internationally, a lot of those are thought to be figures that should be included in the suicide statistics as well. So look, this, Paul, is an area that I'm going to really focus my attention for the term of this Senate. I'm a psychiatric nurse, as you know, Paul. This is one of the reasons I got into politics in the first place. And people could say politicians are cynical and everything. On this one, Paul, I'm as genuine as you can get. I really feel passionately about it. Luckily for myself, I've not been personally affected by suicide, but my professional career path, I feel, has led me to try and do something about this. I've been working 27 years as a psychiatric nurse and 5 years then in the voluntary organisations in the community with regard to this. It's arrogant for me to say I can do anything about it, Paul, but by God, someone has to try, and we all have to try.
Well, maybe together.
Yeah.
Maybe together.
So, look, I'll be doing
that's
a lot.
That's great.
I'll be doing
look,
a lot
I'm
more.
Gonna,
and just before you do, yeah. Pieta House are having their Darkness to Light walk this Saturday night in Cork. I think starting at 4 o'clock in the Grand Parade. So I'd encourage anyone who's listening to that to check out Pieta House's website first, just to make sure I have the time right. But it is this Saturday night and to turn up.
P-I-E-T-A.
Pieta House.
House.
Yeah.
On Google.
Yeah, Google that, you'll find it.
John Gilroy, thank you very much.
That's
I hope we talk again soon.
We will, Paul. We will.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.